It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Welcome back into The Drive. Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We are off a little bit early today. We are off at 5:30. So we hand things off to the Royals as they start their series against the Tampa Bay Rays. All right, Rob, do you want to start with on the field or off the field with the Royals? They feel equally important at this time. We are all trying to wait to see where the stadium is going to be. But the Royals also have, this is a really important next two and a half weeks. Why don't we start on the field? We'll start here. The Royals this season are 19 and 30 against teams that are over 500. They have not been good against those teams. Their next 13 games are all against teams who are over 500. Tampa Bay is 43 and 35. The Dodgers might be the best team in baseball, certainly on the short list. The Seattle Mariners are 40 and 37. Arizona is 40 and 38. Their next 13 games are against good teams. Now, I know we always say you can't control your schedule and you got to be who's in front of you, and all of those things are true. This feels like a very critical moment for the Kansas City Royals. I've told you guys for probably about a week now, I don't know what the Royals are going to do. I have absolutely no clue what the Royals are going to do. I can make a very strong argument on really all fronts. I can make an argument that they should be sellers, that this team hasn't been consistent. This team hasn't really shown you that they can be consistent, and trying to chase that third wild card is a pipe dream. I can give you a lot of reasons how, man, this team is just one bat away. And if they can get that bat, they can easily get that wild card. And with their pitching staff, if you can get a little bit of offense, anything can happen. It just feels like they are at a fork in the road. This, to me, solves that question. How they handle these next 13 games, I don't know about you, but if the Royals just continue to tread water over the next 2-3 weeks or so, and you're sitting there, and the Royals are 29th in offense, and they're two and a half games out of the wild card, I just don't know if I can bang the drum for them to be a team that goes out to make a move to go get an outfielder. Certainly not for 2025. Now, if the Royals are thinking more long-term and they're trying to figure out who their 2026 outfield is going to be, that's a move that I can be in favor of. But if this team is going to continue to hover around 500 and you're going to have a very valuable piece in Seth Lugo that can potentially get you something, I don't really know what the argument would be to keep Seth Lugo in that scenario. So I haven't really made a decision. I feel like, Rob, you've kind of made your decision. You're probably leaning more toward them being sellers. And I'm just kind of in the middle right now. I'm in the wait and see. This is a 13-game stretch against good teams. The Royals just haven't proven to us that they're a good team against good teams. And if you're talking about making the postseason, that's what you need to be. Vern made the point earlier. The Royals are 500 at home. You're not a legitimate playoff team if you're not even a great home team. So some of this is just, hey, you got to take care of business at home. They had a homestand last week. They lost every single game on the homestand. You got to show that you are viable against good teams. 19-30 is not viable against those teams. We live in the show me state. This is a show me kind of energy from the Royals. If you want to be buyers and you really think that you got a chance to be a wild card team, then you got to go prove it out there on the field. Sure, you play one juggernaut team in the Dodgers. But Tampa Bay is in the same weight class that you are in. Seattle in a four-game series, they're in the same weight class. Arizona, this is not a murderer's row. This is just you playing good teams. This is not Chicago. This is not the Rockies. You got to show against other probable playoff teams how you stack up. And if you lose 9 of these next 13 games or 10 of these next 13 games, it's just going to be difficult to explain to me on the other side that you are a playoff team and that you're worthy of taking on payroll and taking on players to try to go out there and do it. So I'm looking at this 13-game stretch, and we can reassess in 2 weeks where we are with the Royals and what we think they should do.
I lean towards selling. Lean. But I also feel like it's case-by-case basis. My selling is a lean toward a John Schreiber type being sold. My lean is toward one of those type of pieces. I am firmly in this camp, and this fits in with our conversation. No matter if they sell or stand pat or if they are buyers, the Royals should be trading Seth Lugo in a month. Seth Lugo should be part of the go find another place to play system. You can get too much back for him, and I'm not talking about like a rental. I'm talking about getting an actual prospect backed. So I lean towards sell, and if you want to say I'm in the super sell category because I want to get rid of Seth Lugo no matter what, then that's fine. But this is the stretch. It is, what was it, put up or shut up time? If you go 6-7, we're back, we're square one. They're a 500 team, and we're going to figure out if they're 2.5 games back, and like, what, you sell yourself a dream. If they go 4-9, though, I think everyone will jump in my category of sell. And you know what? I'll have to eat my words. If we're getting ready for the Pirates and maybe Paul Skeens is in town, it's July 7th, and the Royals are in the midst of a 9-4 stretch, and suddenly it's like, oh, they look like the Royals we anticipated seeing in March, then you have to be a buyer. But right now, I lean sell, but I'm also selling Seth Lugo regardless of how this stretch comes out.
I think where I am with the Royals is, I guess I'm tired of you and I continuing to use the phrase, all the Royals need to do is tread water. And at some point, if the Royals want to make the postseason, don't they have to show us that they can swim? Right? They have to show us that they can swim. Hovering around 500 is fine. Yeah, cool. It keeps baseball relevant in Kansas City. It makes you want to go out there. I'm not going to make it seem like there's no value in the Royals winning 80 games this year. There's an obvious value in them winning 80 games. But you're not a playoff team if you win 80 games. You're a team that's fun to go watch at Kauffman Stadium if you win 80 games. So I think I'm at least past the stretch of, hey, over these next 13 games, I mean, at treading water to me is the bare minimum that we're talking about. You're under 500. And I know that we think, well, look at what happened at 14. Look at what happened at 15. I mean, there's a reason that the Indiana Pacers was such a cool story. That doesn't happen every year. The Royals happened a decade ago. There hasn't really been a Royals team since. Like, we're talking about something just lightning struck perfectly at one time. And we had Vern. There's not a single person who watches more Royals baseball than Vern. He said this earlier on the show.
Cold, hard truth. You know, I hate saying it, but I remain optimistic because of all the reasons I just mentioned. But no matter the statistic that you look at, things that good teams do, the Royals are not doing. They're 500 at home, 19-19. You mentioned that they're not beating good teams. Hitting with runners in scoring position, hitting for power. The only thing that this team does that is reflective of a postseason ball club is the rotation. A rotation that to me is second only to the Philadelphia Phillies. Honestly, this Tampa ball club can make a case that our rotation is just as good as yours. No, I mean, wherever you want to go right now for this team, nothing about it makes you feel as if they're one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. And I'm not talking about one of the five. I'm talking about upper half, top 15. They're outside of the rotation. Nothing jumps out at you and says, stick with them. Stick with them because these guys are about to turn it around.
That was Vern earlier today on the show. I have completely stopped looking at the American League Central standings. There's no reason to do that while the Royals are under 500. I mean, if you were looking at the wild card race, I mean, the Royals are in a legitimate conversation. Tampa Bay, who the Royals play today, they lead the American League wild card. They're 2.5 games up. They're 43-35. Toronto is the second seed. Seattle is the three seed. And the Royals play, they play a week of games against those two teams over the next week and a half. So a really, really important stretch. If the Royals go 5-2 against the Rays and the Mariners, they are right back in it if they have a really, really good week. You think about Cleveland, who's a little bit ahead of the Royals, Boston, who's a little bit ahead of the Royals. The Royals are tied with the Angels. The Angels have 38 wins, so do the Royals, same number of losses. The Royals have a negative run differential. The Angels have a negative run differential. They are about the same team. So at some point, you just have to stop treading water and you have to show that you can swim. And I'm just not really sure if the Royals have shown that, but there's still time. We are at that fork in the road. This is a very, very important stretch from the Royals, and let's see what they do. Another very important stretch from the Royals is we are, it feels like we are winding down this stadium conversation. The Star Bonds initiative, that expires coming up on June 30th. It is June 24th. So in theory, we are coming towards the end. Here is the latest from Fox 4, and more representatives of the city are coming out and saying that the Royals, they're not going to need a vote to get the necessary funding that they would need to build a stadium in downtown Kansas City. Here's Fox 4.
Councilman O'Neill believes the city can redirect a lot of taxes like the state is doing, plus the Port Authority, which he's the vice chair of, can issue bonds.
We believe that we can do that without any problems, to be honest.
Councilwoman Andrea Boo, who also chairs the Economic Development Corporation of Kansas City Board, says she believes the June 30th date of the Royals picking where they want to build was set by the state of Kansas. That's the current date the Starbond offer expires there, but state leaders can extend it.
It's not the city's decision that we have to have a proposal by June 30th. You know, we want to be prepared, and we think that we are prepared. We have the team in place that's necessary to respond when the Royals make a determination on where they're going to go.
Washington Square Park is owned by the city's Parks and Rec Department, so that board would need to approve something dealing with the stadium.
When do you guys envision them considering an agenda item regarding a Royals stadium?
Quickly. We need the parks to approve moving rights over to Port or EDC to negotiate this project, and that should happen fairly soon.
O'Neill says the Royals need to tell the city where they want to go, and when they do, they need entities like the EDC and the Port Authority to work together.
It feels to me that the momentum is definitely shifting back toward the Missouri side. As we are entering the fourth quarter, Kansas had a pretty sizable lead, it felt like. If you were doing the gambling odds, it felt like the Chiefs were minus 400 to go over to the Legends. They were overwhelming favorites to be in Wyandotte County. The Royals have always felt a lot iffy, but it felt pretty certain that that's where the Chiefs were going to be. I think you have started to notice a tone shift in the last couple of days. We had the report yesterday that people were hearing that the Royals are, that the Chiefs are leaning towards renovation. We then had Bob Fesco earlier today on this station. And Fesco has probably been the most pro the Chiefs and Royals are moving to Kansas of anybody in local media. He is now hearing that the Chiefs are likely to stay in Missouri and renovate Arrowhead Stadium.
the Chiefs are probably going to end up just renovating Arrowhead and staying.
Slapping a dome on that bad boy?
I don't think so. I don't know. Somebody talked about putting that, you know, the LA has, you know, one of those things. Like, that's kind of a cool idea, kind of but I don't know what they're going to do renovation-wise, but I think ultimately that's where the Chiefs are going to end up. I think they're going to renovate. I think they're going to build maybe their complex up north of the river, because they can't build their complex in Kansas if they take the state money in Missouri and renovate. And that's something I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. He goes, why don't they just tear down Kauffman and build new Arrowhead? I'm like, that's not part of the plan. It's either renovate Arrowhead or build new in Kansas. Those are the two options. I think the Chiefs are leaning towards, you know, renovating. That was kind of the feeling I got from talking to a lot of different people yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of people have mentioned that, and I feel like we just need to keep saying this and keep saying this. There is no new stadium option for the Chiefs in Missouri. There is a new stadium option for the Royals in Missouri. There is none for the Chiefs. It is the money that was passed in that special session. It is earmarked towards a renovation of Arrowhead. There's been zero conversation of them building a new stadium in Kansas City, Missouri. So they have two choices. They have the brand new stadium in Kansas or renovating Arrowhead Stadium. Those are the only available options for the Chiefs. Now, Rob, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this as someone who lives in Kansas. And again, the momentum was definitely in Kansas's favor, I would say, a month ago. And it felt like it was that way for 6 months. And honestly, it's felt like that wave of emotion, that momentum has been there basically since the vote failed in Missouri. That, hey, Kansas is getting the stadium. Hey, look, they put this package together. They have been very outspoken that they believe they are getting the teams. It seems like since everything was signed in Missouri with the new governor, it seems like that tone has really changed. And it feels like the Chiefs are going to stay in Missouri.
With the Chiefs, I feel like that's the betting favorite. Although I think the margin for a gambling sense, we made this analogy earlier in the show, I feel like for a gambling sense, it's like renovating Arrowhead's like a -110. Like it's the favorite, but it's not like an overwhelming favorite. Where build new in Kansas, I still think is possible. Maybe it's more like a +180. If those of you aren't on the gambling side, so I feel like it's, you know, 57-43 renovate for the Chiefs. The Royals, to me, I don't even think it's much of a delineation. It feels like 80-20 Washington Square Park. You heard the story from Fox 4. We've had the mayor on the show countless times at this point. We've had John Ketz on the show. We've had Matt Evans on the show. We can name the people, and they all keep saying the same thing. The city can give the Royals a stadium without a public vote at Washington Square Park by just doing some funny money with already existing tax dollars because it's Parks and Rec land. And the Royals feel like Washington Square Park makes the most sense. When this whole conversation started, and I can pull the audio, John Sherman is talking to Andy Rogers in Surprise, Arizona. I believe it's 2021, maybe 2022. And he said when he envisions Kauffman Stadium, he envisions downtown baseball. Well, Washington Square Park would check that box. I don't think any billionaire, him included, has a lot of interest in paying a lot of personal money to build a new stadium. Washington Square Park can check that box. I don't think he wants another public vote because there was egg on their face last time that happened. Well, lo and behold, Washington Square Park, good news. No public vote. It feels like it is so obviously going to be Washington Square Park that it's an 80-20 massive betting favorite at this point.
I think it might honestly be a little bit higher than that. And let's remove the Royals. So I think the Royals and the Chiefs, their two conversations are very, very different. And we'll play the other cut from Fesco 2, where Fesco basically says what I said yesterday to what you just said. If you believe the city, and that is clearly their side, like we've talked to enough people, we've heard enough audio. I can tell you what the like Missouri side is, what the Kansas City side is. We've heard enough of these. The city of Kansas City is telling you we can come up with the money. We got to move some money around. We got to go from this department to this department, and we are in the process of doing that. But once the team shows a commitment to that, we will start the process of getting the necessary funding that they need. We already covered one big box, which is getting the money from the state. Now that we have that, we are trying to figure things out. So I'm with you. I have always thought, and you know, I've never wavered from the belief that the Royals would be in downtown Kansas City. As you hear more and more government officials with that opinion, I do think in the end, a lot of the things that the Royals want, the city of Kansas City is going to be able to check off those boxes, and ultimately they are going to get what they want, like most billion-dollar companies end up doing. They spent $1 billion on the Royals. Funny enough, just with how sports teams are selling right now, tomorrow if John Sherman wanted to sell the Royals again, he'd probably get $1.5, maybe $1.7, $2 billion. Like, you could double your investment in less than 5 years if you really wanted to, if you're Sherman, with the way that teams are currently going for with their evaluation. So if you're a billion-dollar company, you usually kind of get what you want. I mean, look, the state is moving mountains to make sure you get what you want. The city is making sure that you get exactly what you want. I do think the Royals will eventually take that deal. And yesterday we talked about this. The Legends, they just never really made any sense from the Royals. Here's Fesco.
The Royals have never mentioned Legends ever as a place where they're going to go. And that's where the laughter ensued for me yesterday. A couple of people, even Wyandotte County folks, you know, that I kind of spoke to yesterday are like, we heard they may be coming to Kansas. We've never heard they're coming to Wyandotte County. And I talked to somebody yesterday in the know, and they're like, the Royals are essentially in the Wyandotte County deal right now. It's the same place. They're not going to move from, you know, where they are at the sports complex to the exact same place across the way. They want to be where the population density is. There's no population density at the Legends out there. So I got a lot of laughter from people yesterday when they saw the Wyandotte County. Like, legitimate people calling me laughing, going, where's Wyandotte County coming from? Like, Sherman's never mentioned Wyandotte County. They're in that area right now. There's no point of moving to the same area.
I told you guys yesterday that I did not feel that the Legends really solve what the Royals' problem is. It just simply moves their problem 30 minutes away. The problem for the Royals is weekday interest. People don't go to the Royals games on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. They just don't go out there. And I didn't think that moving to the Legends was going to drastically change that. It's almost the same situation that they're in, just on the Kansas side. I think what the Royals want is what Fesco is talking about, population density. I think they want to go to where people live. And people live in downtown. People live over by 119th and all. People live in North Kansas City. I think that's what their goal is. I think their goal is to try to be a lot closer to the population in the metro, and we'll see if it ultimately works. It is very interesting, again, to see the tone and mood has really shifted about this. I mean, 2 weeks ago, and we can go back, we were convinced that Clark Hunt wanted a dome, and that was the number one thing. He wants to host WrestleMania. They're not getting a dome. not if they stay at Arrowhead. They're not putting a dome on that 1972 stadium. That would cost more than them probably building a new stadium to end up figuring out how to make that thing work. They're not getting a dome if they stay there.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more.
head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
A lot of people are asking, where would they play? I mean, they play at the same stadium. They would just do the renovations little by little. I mean, the Cubs have never moved from their stadium. They basically do renovations every single offseason. The Packers, they have never moved from where they're playing. They've been doing renovations at Lambeau Field for a decade. They've been doing renovations. A lot of teams do renovations while they're playing. I think about at Missouri. Remember Missouri, they built that whole thing in the end zone. It took them time to build it, but they eventually built it. The Royals had a pretty major, massive renovation. Go back and look at Kauffman Stadium in 2000 and look at it now. It is drastically different. They just played baseball games during it. So I'm not worried about that part with the Chiefs. The Chiefs will continue. If that's the direction that they go, they'll stay at Arrowhead. It'll be a little inconvenient for a little bit, and then they'll have a nice, shiny, newer stadium to play football in.
Yeah, I mean, I get why fans worry about that, but I was kind of – Missouri, K-State, Oklahoma State comes to mind because Oklahoma State went through a massive renovation with stadiums. Soldier Field, if you look back at renovations there, like we can name stadiums.
They moved, though. Remember the Bears moved to Illinois.
They did. Well, they did both. They moved to Illinois for a year, and they also did it during. So, like, teams play through construction projects all the time. I get why people are, if the Chiefs stay, concerned about that, but that the Chiefs are doing a construction project right now at Arrowhead, and they're not going to miss any games. That's just kind of par for the course how these things go.
No, they certainly are. They are doing the renovations right now. That's why they don't have any concerts. I know you guys might be wondering, oh, why did they get this concert? Like, they're not doing anything inside Arrowhead right now because they're trying to get things ready for the World Cup. And then next year, they'll be back to normal. I guess next year, they won't have many outside activities. They're just going
They'll have one big outside
activity. They're just going to have one activity. They're going to have the World Cup next year. We will see it. All right. We had a lot of fun today. Check out the podcast page. I would highly encourage you guys to check it out. We will be back tomorrow. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world. there was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.